Now, Rebecca Stevenson is senior writer at interest.co.nz. She's a business commentator for us, which we're truly appreciative of. Welcome.
Morena, Catherine.
Now, MBE, the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, has released its biennial National Consumer Survey. What does this ask?
Wow, it's a really comprehensive survey, and I would urge readers to head over to the MBE website and check it out. It's the first time I've actually read it myself, and I was surprised at how detailed and comprehensive it is. Now, they do it twice yearly, and now on the strength of the information that they've got this year, MBE are actually wanting perhaps to speed this up and do it perhaps even 6 monthly or yearly so they can really get a grasp on what is going on with consumer trends. Now, this particular one really focused on what consumers understand about their rights and the laws that are there put in place to protect consumers. So what this latest survey did find is that while most consumers are aware there are laws to protect their rights, less than half of those surveyed actually understand how those laws are applied or have at least a moderate understanding of those consumer laws. Now, what also will not be music to the regulators' ears, like the Commerce Commission, is that the survey also found that consumers' confidence in the enforcement of consumer laws has also declined. It found that the proportion of people surveyed who agreed that consumer laws prohibit businesses from misleading or deceiving them has fallen since the last survey in 2020, down to 34%, while agreement among consumers that laws prohibit businesses from price fixing or engaging in other anti-competitive behaviors also fell. People just don't think that there is adequately enforced. Only 24% of those surveyed feeling confident that those rules are going to look after them. It also had some interesting data points about what we actually understand around what our rights are. And it found that a significant proportion of consumers, more than 20%, were unable to make an assessment about the adequacy of the enforcement of consumer laws. Unsurprisingly, consumers did report higher awareness and understanding of the Consumer Guarantees Act and the Fair Trading Act. What is, I think, less surprising is that less people said that they understood the relatively new legislation covering finance contracts, which is the Credit Contracts and Consumer Finance Act, that we did see some tinkering to recently because of some unintended consequences that had come out around that piece of legislation. So overall, we don't really feel like we know what we're doing and how we're protected, and we don't necessarily feel like the regulators are there pushing those laws and enforcing them to help us be safe.
I'm interested in what's driving this. It is 3 years, so it's an interesting 3 years where there's been a lot of developments with respect to advertising practices, so much more migrating onto social media and social media feeds, etc. Also this business of the enforcement of anti-competitive behaviour, a lot of focus obviously on the supermarkets, on the petrol stations. So were there any specific reasons why people said their confidence had been lost? There were some particular industries that were seen as a problem?
Yeah, that's right. So there were some specific industries that popped out as an issue. Overall, 55% of consumers said they had experienced a problem with a purchase that they had made in the last 2 years. And it was home-based telecommunication services where consumers reported having the most issues. About 24% of those surveyed said they had had issues with home-based telecommunication services. So that covers things like, you know, Wi-Fi, broadband and stuff like that. It also did show that there were rising issues in the building services category. So that one reached a peak of 24% of consumers reporting that they'd had problems buying things in that area. And what MBE said was that they think that that might reflect the labor and material shortages experienced in the industry over the last couple of years. So, of course, if you tried to buy a jib at a certain point, it was almost impossible. And so they think that those kind of issues are being reflected in this data.
Now, that's interesting. Quite specific drivers.
Yeah, and I think that this is one of the reasons that they have said that they're going to want to do this more often now, because the data has been going, this survey has been going for a while now, but not for that long. And so because they are starting to build up a picture longitudinally over time, they're now starting to think about how they'll be able to dig into the survey even more, speed it up, and understand faster, you know, what they're seeing, and then hopefully talk to other players in the industry, you know, the industry bodies, dispute resolution schemes, and the Commerce Commission and other regulators, and get across those issues faster.
I'm interested area. Also that the motor industry was another, motor vehicles was another area, and specifically was it car dealerships? It's funny, the last vehicle I bought was off Trade Me, and I guess you know, buyer beware if you're going to go that route, but it was a private sale. It's interesting that it's the car dealerships here that seem to be in play.
Yeah, that's right. Consumers reported that the incident rate of problems had increased since 2020 from 2018, that had risen 10%, and now 17% of consumers are reporting that they've had problems buying through car dealerships. So, for example, in this case, you know, MB would be wanting to talk to those industry bodies about what's going on there and try and get a good handle there, and then hopefully be able to serve up consumers the right information at the right time. And being online, I think, does present them some pretty specific challenges that they are looking to dig into, is how do you do that when people are buying cars or all sorts of things online? And that online increase is really coming out in the survey. Almost all consumers, 91%, said they had purchased a product or service online in the last 6 months. On the flip side, they were also using the internet to seek out information before they purchased things. 71% said they had used online reviews, recommendations for friends, or reference checks before they made a purchase. So some really interesting little issues being thrown up there with online in particular. You know, consumers felt that when they were online, they didn't necessarily realize that they're still protected by the same sort of laws. So I think they had a data point that showed that online has now overtaken in-person purchases as the key source for any problems. 36% reported that they had issues with online purchases versus 33% in person.
That's interesting, isn't it? You can go back to a shop and, you know, stare someone down, but good luck sometimes trying to track down a human being behind whatever you've purchased. I mean, some sites are brilliant, but it, you know, you're in the hands of people replying to your communication or not, aren't you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think people think, oh, it's so hard online. Who am I going to be talking to? Who am I going to be dealing with? And I think that actually flows also into this point that less consumers are actually taking action to try and sort their issues. MB reported this had dropped to its lowest level to date. 67% of consumers said they would try and resolve their problems, compared to 73% in 2020. And they said basically they're unsure of what they can do to resolve it, as well as wondering whether or not it's even worth trying. So they're going to be doing, I think, a lot of work around that. You know, there is a little bit, I think, of safety that we feel when we shop, for example, for a .co.nz. Of course, that's not necessarily meaning that a business is based here, but we can do those kind of things to try and protect ourselves online as well. You know the business yourself, know where it operates. You can check the company's office, register in New Zealand to see if they are a New Zealand business. So there are some things you can do as a shopper to try and help yourself feel more confident when you are shopping online.
And what are the implications for the regulators of this, do you think?
Yeah, quite a bit. So I spoke to MB's general manager, Simon Gallagher, yesterday. So this report was published last week. Now, they've got a ton of meetings scheduled now over the next few weeks, catching up with people like their counterparts in charge of the CCCFA, for example, at the Commerce Commission, and those industry bodies. And one of the things that we'll be doing is trying to work out again how, what kind of messaging they need to be putting out there and where it needs to go. So for example, one of the issues that has been highlighted in this is that a lot of us don't understand dispute resolution services. And so going back to the most complaints, which was home-based telecommunications, there is actually a specific dispute resolution service just for that. But many of us are just not aware about all of these different dispute resolution services. So I can see, you know, MB chatting to the telecommunications dispute resolution service and saying, hey, you know, we see that there's an issue here. What can you be doing to make this better? And how do you get yourselves out there more so people know who you are? So that service in particular has told me that they're going to be undergoing a major TV campaign this year for the first time. So all of this feedback, you know, is going to go to the regulators, it's going to go to ComCom, and they're going to have lots of meetings and try and figure out how to improve this, because the last thing they want is actually consumers feeling that the regulators aren't there for them and therefore, you know, there's no point complaining.
Just finally, the dispute... The dispute resolution service is there, there's the disputes tribunal, etc. Is it being used? Is there confidence in it?
Yeah, not so much. I think there's 50, which I was really surprised at, more than 50 dispute resolutions in New Zealand. 83% of consumers said they were aware of at least one dispute resolution agency. 39% said they're aware of three or more. Most consumers say they had heard of the disputes tribunal, but awareness is at its lowest level to date. 73% reported in this survey compared to 80% in 2018. Then we had the banking ombudsman scheme, 46% said they were aware of that. Then the motor vehicles disputes tribunal at 34%. Awareness of all the other listed dispute services was less than 40%. And quite worryingly, 17% of consumers said they didn't know about any of them at all.
Wow. Yeah, you do wonder this transition in some ways, this transition to online, whether there's a different challenge for MB to keep the public awareness up. Again, you kind of mentally got it in your head that if you walk into a shop and something's wrong, there'll be something you can do. But just sort of with so much of our shopping being almost passive now, they've got some awareness raising to do by the looks of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're very aware of that. You know, they are talking to a digital agency, I think, at the moment, and putting together some ideas of what they might be doing. But what they're talking about is actually targeting us, you know, when we're online and making a purchase, that then you get served an ad, you know, before perhaps you hit pay, that gives you a little pop-up that says, you know, hey, have you thought about X, Y, and Z? And then the other area they said they need to target as well is once people get the goods or get them at home. So some way of helping people understand once they have made the purchases as well, that these things are here to help you and that you do have rights. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see what they come up with. I'm going to stay in touch with them about this campaign that they plan to run this year, because it is a really interesting time with us doing so much more online. So yeah, very much watch this space.
But what are those challenges? I mean, you could require companies to, you know, attach a note or a label saying you have the right to, but difficult to impose that with so much of our purchases now being international, of course, as well. One thing to impose it here, another thing overseas. Now, the Reserve Bank, this was really interesting last week. Everyone crystal ball gazing, but the clear message was they believe they've done enough. The last move, the 25 basis points move last week to the cash rate would be enough. It may be some time before there are any cuts to that cash rate. But when you're looking at the reasons given, the evidence given for this, I think there was weakening in consumer demand and other things as well, and easing definitely in the tightness of the labour market. You've had a look at the jobs data, though, and are you seeing particularly encouraging signs there from a fighting inflation perspective?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So Stats NZ puts out employment indicators, and I just put out some yesterday. And what the employment indicators measure is this is taken from tax data of how many people have been put into new jobs or there have been filled roles. And so one of the things, as you mentioned, that the RBNZ is looking for is signs that its inflation fight is actually helping to dampen down some of that strength, particularly around employment, but we're just not seeing it come through yet. So we saw, compared to March, filled jobs rose 0.6% in April to 2.37 million filled jobs. And then if we look at April on April or year on year, the number of filled jobs has increased 3.8%, the latest Stats NZ data has showed. So we're just not seeing any pulling back so far in terms of those new filled roles. Westpac senior economist Michael Gordon has said that he thinks that it's not only, you know, more migrants coming in that are filling jobs, but he also says that the appetite for employers is still really strong. He says the most timely data on the labour market is not flashing any recessionary signals yet. And if anything, it is the opposite. You know, he says we're still seeing a very strong willingness to hire from New Zealand businesses. We've also seen ongoing strength in filled jobs in certain age groups. People aged 15 to 19 years are getting into the workforce. Those filled jobs increased by 9.7% year on year. And also people at the older end of the workforce are also getting into it. Those aged 65 and up saw an increase of filled jobs of 8.4% in April compared to April last year. So none of this will be good news for the RBNZ, but of course it is always good news when people get jobs that they are seeking. So yeah, we're just not seeing any weakness at all, it seems, from employers in picking up new staff yet.
But that may still be a rebalancing that is underway. We know we've got very high inward migration at the moment, and we know so many of those employers were desperately, desperately short. Look, I just did some apple picking at the weekend, and the reason I was doing that and wondering why on earth are all these apples on the tree was because of a shortage of getting pickers. And we know hospitality has been in such a tight situation as well, in fact, across most industries. So there may still be at least a rebalancing happening rather than an excess of tension.
Yeah, it is hard to tell. I mean, when I spoke to people in the Hawke's Bay a couple of months ago, they were really positive about the number of people coming in on working holidays and those working holiday visas and feeling really quite good about it. So yeah, we're still got to watch closely, but we're not seeing, I guess, the sort of quick entrenchment perhaps that the RBNZ may have been hoping for.
Thank you very much, as always. Rebecca Stevenson is a senior writer at interest.co.nz.